Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? Today's date is September 26, 2018, and this is episode 130. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by Kent. Kent, how you doing?
I'm tired. I took like a two-hour nap. Otherwise, I'm tired. Yeah. How are you?
Not too bad. Apparently, a little bit of a stutter once I get into the podcast, but
I don't know. It's one of those days. Like, has it been like pouring where you're at?
No, it's been sunny and humid.
It was humid. It's just been pouring. Like, the past 2 days, it's been pouring, like, raining on my walking days. I'm like, sweet. Really happy about that. Really.
Yeah, today was the first day it had not rained up until about 20 minutes ago, because we just had a thunderstorm come through in like 4 days.
Wow.
I am so sick of rain. There's like mushrooms and stuff growing in the yard near our house. That's how moist the air and the ground is in this area.
I always like to hear the word moist because I know that's like a trigger word for certain people. Like, it is. So, like, I always get, like, I get giggly about it. I don't know how else to describe it.
Moist.
Exactly. God damn it. I at least have one friend that, like, gets mad when I say it. I feel it might be, like, this girl named Melanie that I sometimes do, like, American Horror Story podcast with. Yeah. Unfortunately, she won't be listening to this to get triggered, but
oh well. Oh, there's other people out there that just do not like that word.
And we know we have listeners. We actually have proof of concept, finally.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that. That made my day the other day, to know that there's other people out there listening. And you know, with that said, we probably should greet our first-time listeners and kind of explain what we're talking about, right? All right. So for our first-time listeners, welcome to our show. I know it doesn't appear so, but we actually do talk about all things wrestling. And this week, in honor of the Mixed Match Challenge that is currently underway, Kent and I came up with our own fantasy Mixed Match Challenge pairings, and we're going to share those with you this evening. We kind of went across, you know, promotional lines and came up with some, I think, decent pairings based on the list I've seen and the list I worked on. And we're also going to touch on some of the big stories of the week from Raw and SmackDown. And we have our normal segments for you as well. And you'll hear those throughout the show as we go through tonight's show. But before we get to any of that, I think, Ken, our listeners and myself could use a moment of bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm sure you just went through a great introduction that I totally definitely heard, and I definitely didn't have any tech issues whatsoever. Yeah, it's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's just, you know, calm down, catch our breath, and maybe do a moment of bliss.
I'd be fine with that. That sounds good. Let's see, this week's moment of bliss, I would say Monday, me and Chris Theophilus, we started the monthly horror podcast, and this month we discussed, you know, best music in horror, so best themes and best like songs on the soundtrack. And I know you're not like a horror fan or anything, but Carrie, if I were to ask you like your top one or two, like that just instantly pop out to you, do you have anything that comes to mind of like an iconic horror theme?
the theme from Halloween.
And that was really like the unanimous. It was not number one on anybody's pick, but out of the six people, it was number two on four of them. So that was as close to unanimous as possible, because I don't think anybody else had the same number one, oddly enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, like Jaws, Nightmare on Elm Street, Exorcist, Psycho. They all... We had an issue, kind of a, not a debate, because him and I both agreed, but like a lot of other people said Psycho, and we didn't put it high enough because it's really infamous, only for one scene. It's not like throughout the film. I don't know if you've ever seen Psycho.
Yes.
Okay, so you know, I mean, it's for the shower scene, and we all know that particular violin or whatever, but that's it, you know. It does have a theme song, but not... people don't actually remember it for that particular music. And then for song, this one might be a little bit more outside your spectrum, but it was almost nearly unanimous. Out of the four people that did it, three people had this as their number one. You probably have no idea what would have been chosen, right?
I know which one I would choose, but which one did you guys choose?
It was from Lost Boys, Cry Little Sister.
Never heard of it.
Have you ever seen Lost Boys?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's something you can absolutely appreciate as a child of the 80s, because it has tons of 80s cliches. It has both Coreys. It has Jason Patrick with, you know, long, glorious hair. Kiefer Sutherland at his peak badass. There's just a lot to love. Plus, there's a shirtless guy playing the saxophone on the boardwalk at night, and it's a thing of beauty. So, plenty of things to truly love. What would you have chosen, just out of curiosity?
Only because I just heard it on an 80s rock station, like, 2 days ago. Dream Warriors. Remember that song from Dokken?
Yeah, that's my number two pick. And come to find out, apparently Chris had a dog, and he said that his dog was named Dokken. I was like, no shit. He didn't name it. Like, he ended up just getting the dog. I think he said it was like a golden retriever. It was named Dokken. So, yeah, Dream Warriors. Dream Warriors, that one was the very first Nightmare on Elm Street I ever saw. So, I was hooked from... early age, and that's always been my favorite horror franchise, so yeah. All in all, it was good. It was a very long podcast. I made the executive decision to make it into two parts because it went for like 2 hours and 44 minutes. Future ones will be significantly shorter, but because we did two different categories, you know, kind of doubled everything, right?
Yeah.
So... aside from that, it was good. So, the other good thing I had was that last week I had gained weight. I was pissed off after dieting and exercising. So this week I said, fuck it, I'm going back to what I like to eat. And now I've lost all the weight that I gained. So, temporary mishap, perhaps. But, I mean, it was like an 8-pound fluctuation. I gained about 8 pounds 1 week, then I just lost 8 pounds. So... I don't know. I thought possibly my scale was messed up, but now that I'm back to where I was, I don't know. 8 pounds is a lot in a week, right? To go both ways?
Yeah, I would think so.
I do too. I don't know. But yeah, that was my moment of bliss.
Very nice. Very cool. Just a shout out to our listeners. Make sure you check that out once it gets posted. It's probably pretty educational for those of you who like horror or may be interested. With that said, let's get into our fantasy mix-match challenge pairings. So basically the rules, listeners, were really simple for this. We took stars, superstars, wrestlers, what have you, from basically all the promotions that are out there. So WWE, NXT, delve into the Mae Young Classic a little bit for some of my picks, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, all the other promotions, indie promotions out there. This was fun. I had a great time doing this. What about you, Kent?
I did, and then I seemingly forgot half the... Like, when I initially was like, hey, Carrie, let's do this, I had, like, you know, 20-some ideas, and then today as I'm writing it down, like, I'm at number 10, and I was like, holy shit, I totally forgot so many of them, and to this moment, I still don't remember all of them, so come, like, next week, I'm gonna be like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this one and this one, but for right now, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I'm just realizing that it's the MMC, and that's also the initials for the Mayans Motor Club TV show. So, yeah, things are happening in my really sleep-deprived mind at the moment. Good times.
Nice. Well, how about you? You want to kick us off with your pairings, and then we'll go into mine?
Okay, yeah, that's fine with me. So, I had some dishonorable mentions that I want to poke a little fun at first. As I told Carrie, I was like, Kenny Omega and Kairi saying that shit was going to happen because it had to fucking happen. And realistically, from a wrestling fan's perspective that as into those two, that's probably actually like a decent pairing. For me, it stands for a lot of things that I just dislike in wrestling. So they were a dishonorable mention. In honor of Russ, who I believe is returning next month, he told us, I had Mr. Burn It Down and Harlot Flair as a pairing, two of the things that I can't stand. the rock and rock connection of Roman and Nia. And finally, Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson, because I don't know which one's the man, which one's the bitch, but there you go with those. So those are my dishonorables.
All right, Matt and Nick are brothers. That's like some Tumblr fan fiction that just is just wrong.
I just found out, I got an email I think today or yesterday that I've been on Tumblr for 6 years. I'm like, holy shit, I've been blogging for that long. Because I like shortly after I started my blogger account, I got on there. So 6 years of doing the same old stuff. Mediocrity at its finest. As for my legit pairings, with Austin Aries and Zelina Vega, because they used to date, and Aries is awesome still to this day. Drew McIntyre, Becky Lynch. I just kind of came up with that today, and I fell in love with that pairing. Like, two of the best performers going today. Honestly, they would make it to the finals for me, if not win it all. Number three, for giggles, Carl Anderson and his hot Asian wife. Don't know if she can wrestle, don't care. She's still better than Daniel Bryan's wife. Number four, I had Bully Ray and Velvet Sky, real life couple, and they'd be a great team, I think, to watch. Number five, as much as I enjoy the Mickey Bobby pairing, I do think that's kind of a clever name for a thrown together team. I've long said that I wanted Elias and Mickey because they're both singers. I really feel they could do something cool with that. Right now they're both heels. I just felt that was a better pairing. Number six, I wasn't sure which man I was going to pair up with Sue Young. At first it was going to be Taker, you know? Naturally it was going to be Taker, and then I was like, wait, he's not the only person with druids. So I thought Joey Young with his penis druids and Sue Young's brides, undead bridesmaids, like every other one accompanying them, like this line of dicks and undead women. And I was like, fuck, man, I would pay money to see that actually be a team for one night. Really? Right?
Yeah, that would be interesting. Speaking of Joey Ryan, apparently during WrestleCon next year, during WrestleMania weekend, they're having a Joey Ryan dick party.
Nope, I'm not going to ask what that is.
I don't want to know what that is.
Normally, I'm a little bit curious, but no, I'm No. moving on. I had the demon, Finn Balor, and Sister Abigail. Another Final Four team, I think. The boss connection of Corbin, Constable Corbin, and Sasha Banks. I had a lot of different people with Brock, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, Ronda Rousey's around. Completely forgot about Ronda's existence. I was like, she has not made an impact really at all in my mind. I know she has for Nana Russ, but not for me. But I think that would actually be a fan favorite team. I think the fans would really enjoy that. Number 10. Could not figure out who I wanted to pair Sarah Logan with. And I was like, Samoa Joe. He likes going to people's houses and trying to, you know, upset their wives and children. So, Sarah Logan and Samoa Joe just seemed to make some weird sense to me. I don't know why. Number 11 for my oddball team, Randy Orton and Bayley. Because that would just be creepy as hell. She would keep trying to hug him, and he would stare her down and possibly RKO her just because. And she would get up like a puppy and just, like, still want to hug him. Like, that's... I mean, hell, after everything with her and Sasha, yeah, she would just forgive Randy and move on. It's true. Number 12, a true dream team. Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka. I don't like Miz and Asuka. I want Asuka and Shinsuke in the worst way. I just do. Number 13, a team that would not do well, but a personal favorite of mine, Connor and Karma. That's my Haas team. Like, I'm just saying, you put them against Brock and Ronda. And they're going to lose, but they're going to lose. And I don't know. You put Karma with Ronda, and now, you know, just keep Connor out of the match, and you'll be fine, I think. Number 14, the, hell, for lack of a better term, the Athletic Black Team. I mean, really, that's what we're looking at here. It's Apollo and Naomi. A very exciting team that could be a lot of fun to watch. Number 15, I didn't know who to put with Miz. I knew I wanted to have Sienna. I don't even know if she's still in Impact or not. I don't think she is. She did Mae Young Classic.
Yes, she did. I was very impressed with her. Her match with Mia Yim was amazing.
She's so good. Like, I wish WWE would sign her long-term and book her properly, because she's really talented. And finally, I had Braun and Bliss, because... You know, believe it or not, every once in a while, WWE does get something right. And I mean, really, they haven't done anything more right than that in a long time. Braun and Bliss is a perfect team. Braun and Bliss on Drive Along was actually a very enjoyable episode. I like everything about them. So I don't even know who I'd have necessarily win. I think it'd be Drew and Becky, though.
So. That's a good choice. Out of all those pairings, I think that would be the best choice.
And with that said, name off a bunch of people who I can't pronounce their name or I have never seen a single one of their match.
All right, I'm going to kick this off with one disclaimer. When we came up with the idea to do a cross-promotional mixed match challenge, the main reason I chose this was to reignite these two individuals. I am talking about the world's cutest tag team, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. They are my first pairing. I love watching those two. I wish they were still together. They're great. My next
when
pairing.
When were they together? Because you mentioned this earlier to me, and I don't.
They were a mixed tag team through basically a lot of her independent career. Like, they had she wrestled a lot of guys, at least at PWG, with Joey Ryan. Like, there's a really good, I think, Hardcore or Extreme Rules or whatever, one of those kind of matches between, it was her and Joey Ryan and the Young Bucks, and it's just amazing the stuff that she puts her body through in that match. But they really were just, I needed an excuse to get those two back together.
Fair enough.
With that said, here are the rest of my pairings. My next pairing is, for some of our listeners who are familiar with both individuals, probably a really odd pairing until you actually hear an interview from the female part of this pairing. I have for my number two pairing, Minoru Suzuki and Shayna Baszler. Reason being, Shayna Baszler has said in an interview she is trying to pattern her character after Minoru Suzuki. For those of you familiar, Minoru Suzuki's kind of a badass who's kind of sadistic, who likes to beat up on the young lions in New Japan. He's also basically a New Japan staple who has been wrestling for 30-some years. So that there's my number two. My number three matchup or pairing is Toni Storm and Dolph Ziggler. Pretty much the same, you know, 80s rock gimmick for both of them. I thought that'd be a good pairing. My next two pairings are husband and wife duos. I have Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo and Taya.
Do you like Taya?
I like her. I liked her when I saw her in Lucha.
I've watched her a few matches in Impact, and I don't quite get her yet. She's not bad or anything. I don't know. She's been kind of hyped a lot, and I watch her, and I'm like, are they just not giving her the right matchups? Perhaps like that. That's all I'm trying to figure out. And then when I found out her and Abs were together, I was like, what an interesting combination. So, yeah, just wondering if she was good. Okay.
Yeah, from what I remember her on Lucha, she was really fun to watch. That said, my next number five pairing is another husband and wife duo. I have Cody and Brandi Rhodes. And Kent is just shaking his head right now.
I mean, really, could we just get her and Brie in the same match and just end it all? Like, would the world just end in that moment?
Brandi can actually wrestle, unlike a certain Bella twin. Brandi is actually decent in the ring.
Now, granted, I haven't seen her wrestle in about a year, but she was awful when I last saw her. So unless she's made huge strides over the past year, my God, was she abysmal when I last saw her. I was like, what happened? That's all I can say is what happened. So you're saying that she's obviously gotten better.
She's improved. I mean, she got invited to wrestle at Stardom, and usually they don't bring in mediocre talent into Stardom.
All right, fair enough.
All right, my number six pairing is the bad boy and the bad girl, Joey Janela and Penelope Ford. My next matchup, and my number seven matchup, is the ace, the new ace of New Japan, and the female ace of, quote-unquote, ace of WWE, and the bane of Kent's existence. Yes, I'm talking about Kazuchika Okada and Charlotte Flair.
Why would you do that to Okada? I mean, I thought you liked Okada.
I don't know. I was trying to figure out who to pair him with, and that was the best I could do.
I'm looking at your list, and I'm so mad. I'm seeing somebody that I completely overlooked, and I'm, like, seething with rage right now. You'll know when you get to it, but, yeah, there's somebody I completely left off, and now I'm really mad.
There's a couple names that I'm looking at right now. Actually, three names that I'm looking at right now that you're probably upset about. With that said, my next pairing is Becky Lynch and Sheamus, followed by one of the current pairings for the Mismatch Challenge, Finn Balor and Bayley. I just love the chemistry between those two. It's adorable. My number 10 pairing is Kairi Sane and Juice Robinson.
Pure disgust.
I know. My number 11 pairing is Zach Ryder and Chelsea Green. Number 12, Bray Wyatt and Nikki Cross.
And there it is. Not only did I leave Nikki off, I completely left off fucking Emma. I really did a disservice to myself.
I couldn't figure out who to put with Tennille / Emma. I struggled.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do Buddy Murphy, and that's like where everything like left off. I was like, oh, I could do anything with the Iconics. I'm like, I don't know any Australian male wrestlers other than Buddy Murphy. Do you know any other ones? Other, like, I don't know, were the Bushwhackers Australian?
I believe so. But let's see. Could probably put her with... No, he's from New Zealand. But in terms of wrestling ability, they're pretty close. Could probably put her with Jay White.
I would... Yeah, I did a disservice to Emma and Nikki Cross, and even though they're not listening, I apologize.
All right, moving on to the final four in my list. Number 13, I have Deanna Purrazzo and Marty Scurll. Number 14, I have Pete Dunne and Rhea Ripley. Number 15, Jay Lethal and Tessa Blanchard. And number 6, for those of you who have nostalgia and like a throwback, Big E and Caitlyn.
So not Big E and AJ?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm picking.
No, I'm not. I'm remembering the hashtag Caitlyn is a thug.
I don't remember that particular hashtag, although now I wish I did. I remember Dolph, Big E, and AJ being a group. So when did Big E and Caitlyn have a thing?
They didn't really have a thing so much as there was a storyline when she was feuding with AJ, and AJ was making her think that Big E had a crush on her, and there was all that drama, and he tweeted out, hashtag Caitlyn is a thug.
Gotcha. I would say...
I don't remember the circumstances of that, but it did happen.
Fair enough. I would say, once I get past like the four or so teams that I absolutely dislike on your list, I really like... I like the idea of Toni Storm and Dolph Ziggler. I like Becky and Sheamus, but right now I have a huge raging clue for Becky, so I'll side for her on anything. Bray and Nikki, just because my pure regret. I still am not sold on Deanna Purrazzo, but I think that's actually a decent team. And Pete Dunne? Pete Dunne and anybody's good for me. And I also really like the Jay Lethal and Tessa Blanchard pairing. I liked a lot of those. Actually, I kind of like the first one. Was it Minoru Suzuki?
Minoru, yeah.
And Shayna. Just because I honestly feel that Shayna has improved, and I like to acknowledge when somebody actually does improve. Unlike, you know, somebody from Japan who is now the NXT Women's Champion and gets by with a stupid fucking wooden wheel gimmick.
And don't forget the treasure chest. She has a treasure chest now.
Every time I hear, all I can hear is Terrence and Phillip going, "We're looking for treasure." I'm like, wow, this is Terrence and fucking Phillip come to life in a fucking little Japanese girl. Fan-fucking-tastic. And it bothers me that she's featured in the commercial for WWE 2K19. I'm like, why? She has two little quick clips in it. Not many wrestlers had more than one clip. She got two. Not happy with that, despite how great that video is. Who would you actually have win your tournament?
I am so torn. I really am. Because I have the world's cutest tag team reunited, and they're really just the whole idea behind a mixed tag team. But I really like Suzuki and Baszler. She can learn so much on how to be him from him.
I would actually like to see your pairing of those two versus Brock and Rhonda. I think that'd be a really fun match.
Ooh.
Right?
I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
Like, I would enjoy that.
Like, actually, as you were going through your list, I'm like, I would like, in my mind, I was actually pairing up your teams versus my teams in certain things. I was like, some of these could be really fun matchups. And then I realized, oh yeah, I hate mixed tag matches. I just did this to pair up a bunch of dudes with a bunch of chicks and think of cool pairings. But the reality is I hate every single mixed tag match I've ever seen in my life. I know that some of them can be done well outside of WWE. I just have never seen them done outside of WWE, so my exposure is limited. Which is weird for me to say about wrestling.
Fair enough. I mean, it's not for everyone.
It could be. It could be done so well, but society's standards will never allow a company worth 7. Whatever billion dollars now to have men wrestle women. That's unless, you know, it's fucking Ellsworth.
This is true. Well, he does have the intergender title. He still has that, right?
He should. I think. I don't know. I think
so. I haven't heard he dropped it, so I think he still has it.
I hope so. I hope he that's a future Hall of Famers in my books.
I'm trying to remember if he's on the Cruise of Jericho or not. Can't remember if he's in the lineup or not. I know he was at one point.
Are they just on, like, for the Cruise of Jericho, is it just going to be, like, one night of wrestling and then just a bunch of other nights of bullshit, like music and stuff? Or, like, are they doing multiple nights of wrestling?
I think they're doing multiple nights of wrestling because they have a lot of matches lined up. They have Impact versus Bullet Club. So it's basically Cody and the guys from Ring of Honor in Bullet Club versus Johnny Mundo, Brian Cage, and a few other guys from Impact. They have Alpha Club versus Bullet Club. So you have, basically, you get to see Jericho and Omega lock up again. I'm looking forward to that one. I think Marty Scurll is supposed to take on Sammy Callahan.
I thought Jericho was taking on Callahan.
Nope.
Huh. Wait.
Unless there's something going on Impact, I don't know.
I could be getting something mixed up, but I know Sammy was supposed to have a big time matchup, and I thought it was with Jericho, but that wouldn't make sense since Jericho's kind of a heel at the moment. But you're saying it's Skrull?
Yeah, it's Skrull.
What the fuck? I don't know. I could have swore Sammy was calling somebody else out, but I could be entirely wrong. I thought he was. And maybe it was for a different event. That's also entirely possible. That I don't know. I mean, Sammy's really, really one of the most must-see things on Impact. Really, like, over the past year, if you had to pick one person that's must-see on that show, it's probably Callahan. And WWE did a really good job with him.
Really. Yeah, good. They have a tendency to do that.
Yeah. Good for them. But good for him for getting away from it.
Yeah, definitely. And making a name for himself.
I still feel that, like, you know, a lot of people that don't quite make it from NXT or WWE, I still think there's value in having done the experience. I think it gives you gives you motivation to prove, you know, even if they're not proving anybody wrong in their mind, they're proving people wrong. And I think there's still a lot of valuable stuff to be learned from the WWE way of things. Even if that's not something you want to eventually, like, fully live with the rest of your life or anything, there's valuable stuff you can pick up from the WWE way of things. So, I don't know, I'd like to think that's not a complete waste for somebody like Callahan. Maybe it was a waste for somebody like Big Cass. Because, you know, waste of fucking talent, if he had any.
I don't think he had any to begin with.
He was always in Brie mode.
Yes. And we'll talk about that in a minute or two, or maybe three.
Yeah. Alright, so what's up next? Did we even determine what our Kentertain segment was this week? Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Do you want to get into that, or...
You're the host. I realized Monday when I had to host the podcast, I was like, I haven't hosted a podcast in far too long, and I was so rusty. I totally botched like the opening minute. It was a car wreck. It was. I was in Brie mode for a little bit myself.
All right. Again, we'll get there. But first, let's kick off our Raw discussion tonight with our segment, Were You Not Kentertained? Each week, listeners, we choose a segment and we discuss whether or not we were kentertained by it. This week, we selected the multiple segments of the Shield, Dolph, and Drew saga, where Dolph was trying to get Dean to turn on the other guys in the Shield. And I think Seth tried to get Drew to turn on Dolph. There was a lot of just backstage, you know, conversations that basically culminated in no one turning on anyone. And with that said, because I'm still not getting, or actually, no, let me rephrase that. I'm forced to wait for my Dean heel turn. I am not entertained by this at all. What about you, Kent?
I like how this felt like high school, because normally the high school segments are only allowed for the women's division. But no, this week we got a little bit of high school drama on the men's side, and boy, was it probably some various term that I'm not supposed to use on this show, so let's just say it was exquisite, to say the very least. Really enjoyed how Drew, I believe it was, like, oh, you guys just want me to join so you can be the most unstoppable faction ever. And they're probably just like, no, we already are, and you'd just be useless and pointless on our team. And that had to sting a little bit for Drew. And it's like, they're not going to have Dean turn on this random Monday Night Raw. It made no sense. So, I don't know. Like, I was suckered in by my glee of the drama, but by virtue of them doing this, we safely assume that there will be a heel turn from the Shield, and most likely there will be a face turn from either Dolph or Drew. And then we'll have two brand new three-man factions, and this shit's just gonna go on for the rest of 2018. Like, this is our main event scene. Somebody like Bobby Lashley is never going to make it to the main event because this shit's happening. Kevin Owens, he's not sniffing the main event scene. Nope, this is what we have going on. And the hottest act they had going this year is now a heel who can't get a singles opportunity at the belt despite winning the briefcase at Money in the Bank. They have completely and utterly they wasted their hottest act. Their first half of 2018, was there a hotter act than Braun Strowman? No.
For the past year and a half, nobody's been hotter than Braun Strowman. And they still botched it. They built him up so perfectly. It was basically like you had to put the belt on him to culminate everything that they did over the past year and a half. And we're messing around with Roman and the Shield boys, and I'm sorry, but the Shield is so, like, what, 2012, 2013? I'm over it at this point. So over it.
We often make fun of WWE for blowing their load, and yet when it's the right time to finally release their hot gooey mess all over the fans' face, they choose, no, we gotta coronate Roman again for like the 17th time this year. We wanna make sure everybody knows that he's the guy we're gonna push, because we felt we didn't do a good enough job with Cena, so this time we really want to put our stamp of approval so the fans know, get behind this guy, okay? He's a good guy. He has two moves, and he's going to use them throughout the whole match, and we don't care. We don't mind that, because he's related to The Rock. And we're just going to put these two guys that can work their ass off, and then Roman's going to tag himself in at the end of every match, hit one move, and get the pin. Which, by the way, was probably the most insulting part of the whole evening, was how that match ended. Roman did jack shit throughout that match. Tags himself in, hits a spear, gets the win. And in my head, I just heard, doo, 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 doo.
That's pretty much what I was just thinking. I'm like, oh, that's so Cena. You would think at this point, WWE would have learned their lesson with that, because the fans turned on Cena. The fans have already turned on Roman. But then again, they're making billions of dollars. They don't give a shit what the fans think.
You can't even fault, like, you can fault them, and yet the money says otherwise, and you're stuck saying, fuck. Like, how do you truly argue with a company that at the beginning of this year wasn't, I don't even think the company was worth $5 billion at the beginning of the year, and right now it's over $7.5 billion. Their stock just keeps rising and rising. At some point, how are we supposed to be like, well, this company just made like $2.5 billion this year, but we're still right on some moral ground? It's kind of tough to argue it. I can't fault them, but I can.
Well, I mean, the solution is, I would say, is really simple. Stop subscribing to the network, stop giving them money, and stop going to the shows. You're that disappointed in the product. Those are the two things you need to do.
I agree.
And stop buying merch. Okay, there's your third. Stop buying merch.
The problem is that I'm not so disenfranchised to stop doing that yet. I probably never will be. And I'm in the abusive Lifetime movie of the week scenario here where they give me just enough stuff to make me happy despite the bruises that I have to wear makeup and wear long sleeve shirts to cover them up. But, you know, Daddy still makes me happy. So, I come back for my Elias's and Corbin's. I just, man, those brutal beatings from Roman just really hurt sometimes. That's where I'm at.
I'm in the, I'll watch NXT and some of the special events, like the Mixed Match Challenge, not that, Mae Young Classic and stuff like that, but the regular programming, the weekly stuff just, it insults my intelligence.
Hey, on the plus side, due to all these special events going on, we basically have up till almost like the end of November planned out for our podcast, due to having a super showdown in Australia, then the Crown Jewel and Evolution, and then we finally get like a 1 week break so we can do a brand or trade lottery, whatever the fuck you want to call it, for 1 week, and then we're right back to Survivor Series preview and review, and it's like, they have dictated our entire lineup moving forward for the next 2+ months, which in a way is good because it doesn't require us to have to think at all, but it's too much. And I like breaks.
At least they're keeping us busy.
They are keeping us busy, and if nothing else, I mean, I have fun making fun of it.
Speaking of things we should make fun of, or maybe not because of, given the situation, it's kind of serious, but let's talk about Liv Morgan's concussion, shall we? And how she got that concussion. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one because I know you have a lot you want to say on this.
Brie Bella should be fired. I feel good saying that. I I have read lots of commentary. I've seen stuff, articles where people are bashing the old timers come back for Evolution. Brie Bella, I don't mind most of the old timers coming back. The Bella twins were not that impactful for their era. They were pushed in a Romanesque way, but they weren't that impactful. They didn't evolve the fucking process in any way whatsoever. If anything, they stagnated the evolution. If you think about it, they really did. And now Brie Bella is back doing her fucking best impersonation of Jason fucking Voorhees to just kill off every single female that's put in her way, including herself, with her legitimate suicide dives. I mean, suicide dives used to mean a whole other thing, but now it actually just means... And, I mean, Zelina Vega's face and poor Liv Morgan. And at what point do they say, hey, thank you for being here, but no, we're like, can they get to that point? Is that, do they have to commit to this part to get through Evolution, and then will they finally say it, or should they actually go down right now and say, you're done, you're out? Should they say it?
I mean, she's legitimately hurt someone at this point. I mean, the other instances, yeah, you could make the argument that it was ring rust, you know, stuff like that. But Liv Morgan has a concussion. She could be out for weeks. She's an active, you know, a regular member of the roster who is going to be there day in and day out when, you know, Brie goes back to her daughter and her businesses. My whole thing with this is, I'm going to say one thing. It's not the Bella twins per se, because Nikki really hasn't done anything in all of this. It's just Brie. The only problem is those two come as a package deal. So if one's in the ring, the other one has to be, no matter how much of a danger that person, that half of the team is. She is legit scary. She is not following match protocol at all. It's so bad to watch her. She botched so many things in that match on Monday. Things that someone who's been wrestling for 10 plus years should not be botching.
Chris Benoit's a safer worker, even in his last days of work, than Brie Bella. If I'm being honest, I say cut the losses. Fuck it. Here. How many more seasons left is there of Total Bellas? Really, like, they're not breaking any new ground. With Cena out of the picture, they're not going to break any new relevant ground, because that was the big culmination, right? With Cena out of the picture, that culmination is just Nikki being bitter and Brie being a mother, right? So, all right, you lose the TV show, which, okay, who cares? And worst case scenario, you piss off Daniel Bryan, which we've kind of gone over the fact that Daniel has not been very dominant at all since he's returned. It's not ring rust. It's that he just doesn't have it anymore. And it's not because he can't hit the big moves. He's not even doing like his normal moves in a crisp way. It's like, he's genuinely excited, but in the excitement, I think he kind of forgot how to be a good, entertaining wrestler, which is the weirdest thing. Like, of all people, I never once anticipated. I was like, if nothing else, Daniel's going to come back and have some good matches. And he has had a few good matches, but they're nothing compared to what any of us expected. So, as I say, worst case scenario, you piss off a guy that's technically still a danger for your company in some ways, anyways. So, worst case, he throws a hissy fit. I don't see the loss.
I have a feeling he won't, though. That's the thing. It's like I think psychologically, he probably can't go anymore because he's scared that he's going to be right back on the shelf. I mean, it happens with all athletes who have a major injury or something like that. They have a tendency to psychologically say, I can't do this. I don't know if I can do this. The other thing is he is completely just humored by everything that they're doing. He's just like, this is so ridiculous. I mean, you look at, and we'll talk about this more in detail later, during the R-Truth segment last on SmackDown. He's like, this is hilarious. He goes out of his way to almost bash booking too. When somebody asks him in an interview, hey, how do you think, you know, do you think they're going to be able to book you in The Miz all the way up to Mania? And he's like, are you kidding me? Have you seen what they've been putting out lately? He doesn't give a shit anymore. If they fired Brie tomorrow, he wouldn't care.
Which I think is basically the point. What are you really losing? Like, I think people are blowing it way out of proportion of what they perceive would be a loss. It wouldn't be a loss. The Bellas will be fine. Total Bellas could still live on, couldn't it?
Well, they need their wrestlers who have a reality show. Like, they bring you into the backstage world of professional wrestling. I mean, sports entertainment. What they do is not professional wrestling.
Even as inactive wrestlers? I mean, that's still, like, their gimmick, though? I've never seen a single episode of any of this.
Well, I mean, first season of Total Bellas was Daniel Bryan dealing with the fact that he couldn't go back in the ring and how that affected Brie. And then there was the storyline of Nikki's injury and her trying to come back from it. I mean, yeah, there was also the relationship stuff and stuff like that. But really, those were the wrestling-related parts of the story. And really, they got a good cast. And just jumping over to Total Divas, they got a good cast. They really don't need the Bellas for that show anymore either. And the Bellas really aren't featured that much, as far as I know.
They're kind of irrelevant. And with Cena out of the picture, they're... I feel the Cena lead up to the marriage was like the cherry on the top. That was the big culmination of that show once Brie and Daniel were married and he's made his comeback. They had a kid. Like, Brie's story is done. Like, there's all that's left is motherhood. Ho-hum. Nikki's whole thing was dependent on Cena. Cena out of the picture, irrelevant. I say fire the Brie, Nikki will follow, and Daniel will just laugh and collect a paycheck.
Or don't fire her, but just force her into retirement. Say, no, you're too much of a liability in the ring. We can't have you in the ring injuring other superstars, especially with the talent coming in behind them. I mean, there's a WWE 24 special on the women's revolution, and they talk about how, like, during the Trish and Lita years, how women were viewed. Then when they went to Diva Search, and basically when they went to Diva Search, the two people that were focused on were the Bellas, and they were basically like, this was the lowest point of the women's division. And then they went back up when they started talking about the Four Horsewomen. Why do you want to go back to that valley? You were on a hill. Why do you want to go back down to the valley?
Right. The only good thing from the Diva Search really was AJ and Caitlyn. And that was more from NXT Season 3, but I mean, it was kind of a glorified Diva Search. But it was the same thing. That was really the pinnacle of that kind of era. And yeah, there's no reason to go back. There's no need to glorify it as something better than it was, because it was the piss break match of the night every single night. It was usually like a minute or two long. It was trash TV at its fucking finest. So, I for as much as WWE wants to say, oh, we held Daniel back to protect his safety, well, now maybe you gotta start thinking about protecting the other women's safety, because Liv Morgan's a girl that busted her ass and has improved leaps and bounds since her NXT days.
Yeah.
She's really done a great job, and it's a shame. Like, how many people are going to be missing fucking Evolution?
Sasha's out. Isn't Alexa
out? Alexa's probably going to take... I just triggered her. I think Bliss will have a short match with Trish. I assume. And see, this is why they shouldn't have done Mickey versus Lita, because then you could have substituted Mickey in, and the fans will be like, oh, a Mickey and Trish match? Okay, that's a great consolation prize. Nobody gives a fuck about Lita versus Mickey. Nope, like, no, who was clamoring for that match? I'm still boggled by that one.
That's not even a dream matchup. Nobody has that as a dream matchup.
No, nobody does. So, I don't know. I'm disgusted by WWE for allowing Brie to do what she's doing. And she should feel bad about it. And I'm sure she, she posted on Twitter. So that makes the world a better place.
That tweet was not an apology.
No, not at all. That
was, we do think sometimes accidents happen. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate
it. What I think is even better is the people who are defending her.
There are people defending her? Really?
Gail Kim came out in defense of her.
Gail Kim did?
Yeah.
Well, there's somebody I like and respect. I'm confused.
Yeah, basically she's like, well, you know, it's a physical thing. Injuries do happen. I'm like, yeah, have you been watching the past 3 weeks where she botches everything, including her own moves, and puts herself in harm's way?
Like,
she's trying to copy Brian's moveset. And she should not do that because she is not that well-trained.
Here's what cracks me up. Just last night, Daniel goes on and is like, makes fun of The Miz for not popping his hips for the it kicks or the yes kicks. And I'm sitting there going, really, Daniel? You're going to say that the night after what your stupid-ass wife just did? That's kind of insulting to our intelligence, to the point where I was like, I was swearing at Daniel, too. I'm done with everybody. I'm done with the whole thing. I'm done. I'm done with it. I can move on from Daniel Bryan. I don't ever need to see him in the ring. I don't ever need to see the Bellas in the ring. I am done. And really, we finally have a female that I dislike more than Charlotte. That happened somehow.
All I have to say is one thing, and AJ Lee said this in a promo a few years back. Brie, talent is not sexually transmitted.
AJ was just so far ahead of her time, because even if she was active right now, would she be the best in the business? Probably. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, she's definitely the best on the mic out of everyone.
Yeah,
the only person who may come close is Alexa.
Yeah, I would say that AJ was better, and yeah, then you got Bliss, and after that, I'd go so far as to say Carmella.
Yeah, yeah. I can't dispute that. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's talk about happier things. Let's talk about the big win this week. Connor from the Ascension actually won a match. Kent, you must be ecstatic.
Yeah. Words cannot put in. I don't have the proper vocabulary to describe the glee that I had, because I'm watching, I'm just like, oh, they're going to give Gable a win over a much bigger guy to kind of build Gable up. You didn't see that coming at all, did you?
Oh, absolutely not.
I don't even know what the hell I was doing. I wasn't necessarily paying attention to the match. I'm just expecting a squash, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing Connor do like a reversal or power or something, and then the next thing I know, he hit this finishing move, and he pins him, and I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen Connor win a singles match ever, and I'm not sure the last time the Ascension got a win, and I feel like it's been over a year. And then I started checking out Connor in a very sexual manner, and I thought, has this man lost weight? I think he may have lost a little weight. Is he possibly getting a reward for finally getting off the Connor diet?
It's possible.
Like, I would love nothing more than for the Ascension to be taken serious again. There's a good team there. There is a great team there if they want to do anything with it. But simultaneously, there's three great teams minimal on Raw, and yet the only two teams shooting for the tag belts are four singles competitors. Not the Revival, AOP, or Ascension. But supposedly Vince is really high on the Revival for a week. Yay!
Yeah, apparently he was really impressed with his their match with Drew and Dolph, so there you go.
It was a really good match. I mean, it was by far the match of the
week.
Yeah,
it was.
I don't think there was anything close to another match of the week.
I like to say that a WWE match is good in my eyes if it gets an emotional reaction from me, and I was just pissed that the Revival didn't win that match. There were times where I was just like, yes, they're going to give it to him. No, they're not. Never mind. Damn it.
I was waiting for like Seth or Dean to come out and interfere to fuck Dolph and Drew over. That's what I was really waiting for. I was like, I think they're going to finally do it. And like they sold the near falls like crazy. They really did. I liked so much about that match. I thought Dawson really had a breakout performance that match more than anybody. Not that Dash is bad. I just thought Dawson really shined in that match big time. But yay, go Connor, get another win this year for the love of God. If Connor gets one more win, he by default I will waste one of my top three picks in the Rumble on Connor for the win. That is where I'm going with my guarantee. One more win for Connor this year and he's getting a top three finish for me.
Very nice. Alright, I think we've touched on Raw as much as we possibly can. I think it's time to move on to SmackDown unless we want to take a quick
detour
break.
We can take a detour since I just dropped my coaster and I'm drinking chocolate milk. Carrie, since I just hocked my coaster into your corner, you mind picking it up and cleaning up the place a little bit?
I would love to if I can find it. My corner just got really messy again. It's not going to be clean for a while. I have a feeling there's a lot going on. All right. So there's lots to talk about in my corner, listeners. We got Deaths Before Dishonor this Friday night. I'm going to give you the card on that event. Sunday, we have Fighting Spirit Unleashed. I'll give you my picks for that card. But before we get to any of that, a few quick notes on last Sunday's Destruction in Kobe. Tanahashi retained his briefcase. He was challenged for said briefcase by Jay White, who also beat him at the G1. So he technically has a claim to the briefcase. Okada was also beat down by Jay White because Jay would like to control chaos, which is one of the factions in New Japan. Yoshihashi came to run out to try to stop the beatdown of Okada and pulled the Titus O'Neil and busted his face open. And Gedo turned on Okada and is now backing Jay White. So in short, like the Bullet Club is right now, chaos is not fine. Also, Kushida made the finals in the tournament for the junior heavyweight title. The next matchup is Mighty Skrull versus Will Ospreay. Whoever wins that match will face Kushida in the final. All right, moving on to Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor. Here is the card and my picks. First up, we have Flip Gordon and Colt Cabana versus Bully Ray and Silas Young in a tables match. Just given all the bullying Bully has done, I'm picking Flip and Colt for the win here, but I have a feeling it might go the other way. Next matchup, we have Kenny King versus Jushin Thunder Liger. I'm picking Kenny King for the win because since it's a Ring of Honor show, probably the Ring of Honor guy is going to win. We have the Women of Honor Championship match, Sumi Sakai versus Tennille Dashwood. I'm hoping this is Tennille's crowning moment. It's time to give her the belt. Get a few more eyeballs on it. Moving on to the Ring of Honor TV title, we got Punishment Martinez versus Chris Sabin. I'm picking Punishment Martinez to retain. Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship match, we get the Briscoes versus SoCal Uncensored, otherwise known as Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. I'm picking the Briscoes to retain. I don't think it's time to take the belt off the Briscoes just yet. I think that will happen at Final Battle this year. Moving on, we have a 10-man tag team match between Bullet Club, Cody, the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, and Hangman Page versus Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Chucky T. I have the Bullet Club winning this 10-man tag match. Next up, we have the Ring of Honor Championship match, Jay Lethal versus Will Ospreay. I have Jay Lethal retaining. Moving on to Fighting Spirit Unleashed, we have a very, very packed card. First matchup, we have ACH, Jushin Thunder Liger, Suke Tajuchi versus Roppongi 3K. I got Roppongi 3K picking up the win. Next matchup, we have Chase Owens and Hangman Page versus SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. I got Chase and Hangman picking up the win there. We have Beretta, Chucky T, and Hirooki Goto versus Chris Sabin, Flip Gordon, and Jeff Cobb. This was a difficult one for me because of the Jeff Cobb factor, but I think they're going to go with Beretta, Chucky T, and Goto for the win on this matchup. Next matchup, we have LIJ, Evil Sonata, and Tetsuya Naito versus Suzuki Goon, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, and Zack Sabre Jr. I got Los Ingobernables de Japón winning this match. Next matchup, we have Gedo and Switchblade Jay White versus Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kushida. They got some kind of push going on with Jay White right now, so I have him and Gedo picking up the win here. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament semifinal match between Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay. I got Marty Scurll picking up the win and facing Kushida in the finals because I think we're getting Will Ospreay versus Kota Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom 13. Next, we have the IWGP Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. I have the Bucks retaining via DQ due to outside interference by the rest of the BCOGs. If this is where Neville is going to be debuting as a member of the BCOG, this is probably going to be his moment. Moving on to the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship, we have Cody versus Juice Robinson. I have Juice Robinson retaining. I think he holds on to the belt until Wrestle Kingdom. And our main event, we have Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii versus the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. Any Golden Lovers match, they're picking up the win, so I'm picking Omega and Ibushi to win. And that is my corner. Lots going on. And I found your coaster.
Yeah. It's right here in my hand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I also realized I never put pants on for this podcast. I am very sleep deprived.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, I picked up my coaster. I'm like, huh. All right. Next week will be better.
You do whatever it is you feel comfortable
with. In all fairness, people, I mean, we're basically seeing shoulders, neck, and head on the podcast. So we're good. We're good. We're comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, now we've had our Japanese language lesson for the week. That was very surreal for me. Lots of things happening there.
Oh, my corner got messy and fast. There's so many boxes. I had it so nice and clean. There wasn't anything there except maybe a tumbleweed rolling through, and then this weekend's just blew it up. I do have one gripe, though. I want to watch Fighting Spirit Unleashed live, but I am not going to pay 999 yen or whatever it is in US dollars for that event, and then the next day paying that amount of money again for New Japan World. I'm basically paying $20. I would be paying $20 in a 24-hour period, and I just don't feel comfortable with that. So I'll just wait until October 1st and then watch it on New Japan World anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Why not just, you know, download it the next day?
That's... Well, I want to subscribe to New Japan World anyways, because you got King of Pro Wrestling coming up, you got Power Struggle coming up, World Tag League, Wrestle Kingdom, of course. Like, the exciting time of year for New Japan's happening right now, because they're on the road to Wrestle Kingdom right now. So it's a great time to subscribe to the network. The only problem is... Can we get infringement
on that one?
No, I'm sorry. It's New Japan World. It's not a network.
No, the road to wrestle fill in the blank.
I was using that. Hey, they've stolen stuff from us. We can steal stuff from them.
What? WWE steals? No, that's preposterous.
Your moment of bliss is now Alexa's moment of bliss.
Oh. Too soon. Too freaking soon, damn it.
All right. Let's talk about happier things, and let's talk SmackDown, because a lot of fun stuff happened on SmackDown. And to kick that discussion off, I think it's time for a 7-second dance break.
Yes.
And with that, let's talk about Truth TV, and Carmella's new hair color is just fantastic.
It's throwing me off so much. It's not a bad color. I do really bad adapting to change in hair colors for anybody, male or female. So, like, in a month, I'll be adjusted. But I need that month, and people just need to give me that month. I've had many people get mad at me when they're like, "Do you like my new hair color?" It's okay. I'm just not adjusted to it. Oh, you hate it? Nope, not what I said, but you just made that up in your own mind. That's cool. And this has been my life. So, why do you think she did it because, like, she was getting lost in the mix as a blonde by any chance?
It's possible. Maybe she was just like, hey, you know, I think I want to make a change. Would you guys be on board with this? Either that or she was just sick of somebody, Maurice, getting confused for her and stuff.
This has been the most nonsensical angle all year long. It makes no sense for Carmella to just suddenly be on R-Truth's side and them just getting along fabulously after everything. And yet, here we are, and I'm... not even upset, I'm not griping about it. I'm stating the fact that it doesn't make any sense, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm liking the career renaissance of Truth. He's relevant again, and he's kind of making people remember how good he can be. You just have to use him in the right situations. And
like they did last on Tuesday night.
Yeah, because you could tell he botched a few things and he just kept going with it. And Carmelo's cracking me up. In a way, Miz was kind of like the worst part of that segment. And I never say that. I mean, overall, it was a great segment. I love when Miz went backstage to talk to Paige and she just...
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah. It was a really good segment. The only thing that I'm not excited about is I don't feel like right now Miz or Daniel have done enough as of late to be number one contender. I don't think either guy has really pulled off anything significant enough to warrant being number one contender. Do you?
Not at all. No. The only problem is everybody else who could be number one contender is busy doing other things.
Well, there is a certain guy who's just making busy work for himself on you know, when he's not, you know, twisting ears.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
But, I mean, there really isn't that much of a singles rock. There's a deeper women's division than there is male singles division. I think if you actually count, I think I might be onto something there. I think the women might actually have a deeper division on SmackDown than the men. It's awfully close, if nothing else.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. There's barely a mid-card to face Shinsuke for the U.S. title.
Well, yeah, that was something we talked about when they did the whole draft thing, was that they completely wiped out the whole mid-card on SmackDown. And they were just like, if you're fighting for the mid-card belt, you're going to be a top talent. If you're fighting for the top belt, you're going to be a top talent. Like, there is hardly any weakness with, like, there is no weakness in the tag team division. There's not much weakness even in the women's division. It's a solid roster top to bottom, unlike, you know, Raw. But Raw needs varying degrees to attempt to keep things interesting, which I don't know.
Well, they need to move some people around. Move some people to SmackDown.
I would consider moving Curt Hawkins over. Give Curt Hawkins a fluky win as U.S. champion. I bet you he could carry that belt for, like, at least 3 months, and it'd be actually pretty fun. Even if it's this stupid, like, title run where, like, he just picks up wins on flukes, like, you know, somebody else is mad at his opponent, so he, you know, picks up DQs or whatever. Curt Hawkins is the type of guy that could truly run with that gimmick, and it would feel, I think it would feel fresh. We haven't seen that kind of gimmick title run in a while, I don't think.
No. So, I mean, it would make the belt relevant. Right now, the belt's, no offense to Shinsuke, really isn't relevant.
I haven't seen a person with a belt, like, just no choice. Like, it's not even Shinsuke, he's not doing bad. He's been given absolutely nothing to work with, and gosh, I don't remember the last time this. I feel like maybe when Dean held, like, the U.S. or Intercontinental Championship, he did jack shit with it. I think it was Dean. That's what this kind of feels.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I feel bad for Shinsuke, honestly. And really, who is he supposed to feud with? Like, him and Daniel's the next. Like, if you don't do Daniel versus him, there's no other faces left. It's Daniel, because he's already done the AJ thing. He's already done the Jeff Hardy thing. That leaves Daniel and somebody else we'll be talking about shortly. That's it. Like, unless he's going to start fighting, like, maybe if they want to make New Day go after the mid-card belt, that might freshen things up a little bit.
Maybe.
Why not? I'd rather see that than just the stagnant garbage.
Well, let's talk about a duo that should be doing other things than feuding with each other or something to that effect. I don't really know what's going on here. We're talking about Randy Orton and Ty Dillinger. Apparently, Randy's next victim after Jeff Hardy. I'm just going to spin the wheel and have it land on Ty Dillinger. For some reason, Ty Dillinger has pissed off Randy Orton. We don't know why, but he has. And apparently, Shinsuke is now helping Orton. There's so much going on here. I'm just confused.
Well, this all, and the way that I'm connecting the dots, which could be completely irrational, is that back when Daniel was still unable to wrestle and Shane was getting his ass kicked by Sami KO, Randy and Shinsuke picked up the helm and were often in tag matches and singles matches with each other, watching each other's back. And they were both faces. Then Shinsuke turned heel at Mania. Then Orton returned and turned heel on Jeff, right? It was on Jeff during a match with Shinsuke. And since then, in the weirdest way, Shinsuke and Randy have been inseparable yet never acknowledging each other. Right? Like, I don't know if they've even really acknowledged each other, despite being in the ring quite a few times with each other. So they're kind of attached at the hip, and I'm wondering, is they can't turn either guy. It's too soon to turn either guy. Would the crowd be into a Shinsuke versus Randy feud right now?
Possibly. Well, we got to keep Randy the way he is right now, or everybody's going to be yawning.
Which, I mean, once again, this is why doesn't Daniel Bryan have to go for Shinsuke next? Because he's the last one standing, which basically means Miz has to beat Daniel. AJ's going to beat Joe. Because if Joe wins, that means Daniel wins, and that leaves AJ without an opponent, unless it's going to be AJ versus Randy. I thought AJ versus Randy was a surefire, easy 2-month feud for the belt. Randy just puts AJ over. I thought that was kind of going to be a done deal, but we never got that. We've been getting this. There's only so many combinations when you're dealing with 8 men. Like, I don't really know how it's the puzzle pieces fit together. Like, really, they should take our idea and in November do a few trades.
That would help.
I'd get Finn over there ASAP.
And do something with Andrade.
I forgot about Andrade even existing. That's horrible.
No, that's what booking wants us to do. Which is strange, because I thought he was getting pushed. I'm confused.
Well, Vince falls in love and then falls out of love. Vince, you filthy whore. Yeah, I forgot about Andrade. I feel horrible right now. Andrade versus Shinsuke. Sign me up.
I would enjoy the heck out of that match.
That's the thing. Andrade versus almost any of these guys are matchups I would like to see as in a feud. I'd be fine with Andrade, AJ, Andrade, Joe, Shinsuke, Randy. Because at this point, they have more heels than they have relevant faces. And there's nobody. They can't turn any of the heels faces right now, I don't think. I don't think you can turn Joe, Shinsuke, Randy, Miz, or Andrade face.
No. Absolutely not.
So, Vent, you kind of have to make a heel versus heel dynamic, don't you?
Yeah. Or maybe just go with having two wrestlers who have no alignment just wrestling together. And feuding.
Joe versus Andrade would satisfy a lot of fans, I think.
I would like to see that. Yeah. That would be a good matchup. Ooh, I like that.
And Joe would lose because apparently Joe can't get a single win in a feud on the main roster. Like, this was our best hope right here, and I don't think it's happening. Although I really did like the Joe segment. I guilty pleasure. I know it was terrible. I know how bad it was. And my biggest... Did you watch the segment or did you only read about it?
I read about it.
There's a part where Joe's like, oh, maybe I should ring the doorbell. And I'm pretty sure it's not like a normal doorbell. I think it's one of those newer ones, like with your cell phone that you can like see who it is. And like Joe is going to ring it and then the camera shifts so you can't see him actually do it. And then you just get like a normal, you know, ding dong type sound. I'm like, yeah, that's not the sound of their doorbell at all. That's why we didn't see that.
I don't think anybody has that doorbell anymore. Technology has moved on from there.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. It was a fun segment, but SmackDown needs a couple of trades in the worst way. And I don't even know who they trade to Raw, because whoever it is just going to get buried. But they need an influx in talent somehow. And I don't know who that would be. Rollins, I would say. I would put Rollins or... Yeah, I'd just put Rollins. Rollins and Finn would solve a lot of issues.
Or just shuffle everybody up, because right now it's too heavy on Raw's side.
It's so heavy, and yet SmackDown's habitually the better program. Despite the stale roster. It's weird. It's very weird. But...
Booking makes the world go round. Booking entertains us.
They just need... I still go back to the fact that they really could use some kind of off-season. Something with a shortened schedule for a month of the year or a couple weeks. Just to give a menial break. Because feasibly, there's not a single promotion out there that can book consistently excellent for 12 months. That doesn't exist. That's never existed in the history of pro wrestling. The peak of ECW, that didn't exist. And most people would consider ECW one of, if not the best, as far as booking goes, all time. It's impossible because it's too demanding. And you're asking these guys to book 5 hours of original programming every week plus pay-per-views? That's so much. I mean, what for like New Japan, what they do like a weekly show, right? Or no? No.
Not really. There's tours.
There's tours, okay. So you got Impact, Ring of Honor, and Lucha. They all do weekly shows. And Ring of Honor is only an hour and Lucha is only an hour, right?
Right.
And Impact does 2 hours. And they fill that 2 hours with a lot of junk and like, hey, here's something that we were famous for 7 years ago. Here's AJ Styles. So like, even they're not really doing a full 2 hours. That's how enormous this whole thing is that WWE does 5 hours. It's, and I don't blame them. $7 point some billion. They're clearly not doing it wrong, but they are doing it, like, it just burns people out. That's...
And they're coming up on a time of year when it would be perfect to take a break or cut back. Nobody is really going to care what happens during the holidays. Nothing happens during the holidays.
No, I mean, never.
The time from Survivor Series till about the beginning of January, nothing happens in WWE. That'd be the perfect time, you know, just take a break. Cut back.
They could do, in my opinion, they would be wise to do like best of from the year, do some of their things that they've shown on the network, stuff like that, that they don't have to really do anything outside, you know, just give the fucking talent a break from Survivor Series till the first week in January, and then that satisfies so many people. Really, like, around Christmas, do you really want to see live wrestling? Even I don't want it.
No. And bring back the Slammy Awards.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, it was a shitty gimmick that made for unintentional comedy. I mean, Jericho and Bob Barker, that's...
Oh, that was great.
That will always live on. All right, we good to start wrapping up with our finale stuff?
I do have one question, though, before we move on. What happened in Milwaukee?
Oh, I thought you were asking me if it is spicy or some garbage question. I was going to be like...
No, I'm not going to ask you that.
God, I was going to burn this fucking whole podcast down. Jesus. Milwaukee. They could have picked any major city in America. Any major city in America. Do you think they said it because Milwaukee is funny to say?
It's possible.
Did somebody backstage go, the crowd's going to chant whatever city. Let's have fun with this. And they're like, Milwaukee's a big enough city. We were there, you know, earlier in the... Like, I feel there was a bet backstage somehow, and that's how this all came about. And it was freaking hilarious. It was one of the few times I've been happy with the crowd this year. Normally, I'm very disgusted by the crowd, but this was funny. They got chanted throughout the whole... Once I was brought up, that never stopped. It was great. Where is this going? Do you think... God, do you remember when there was the Ric Flair, Miss Elizabeth, and Randy Savage thing way, 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 way back? WrestleMania 8 no. era.
No.
Flair, basically, they did photo shoots, and then, you know, the story was that Flair had the images, you know, Photoshop before Photoshop was called that, and had Miss Elizabeth put in these, like, pictures by, like, the swimming pool with Flair, and pissed off Savage, of course, and actually, it was actually not that bad of a storyline. It just wasn't Hogan versus Flair, but it was a good story. Are we going to get something like that? Are we actually going to get Lana and Aiden on camera doing something salacious? Did Corey Graves act like a freaking teeny bopper on TV? Because that's what I saw.
Or is Aiden going to have a room that's completely just posters and pictures of Rusev? Go with a Mickey James Trish Stratus angle.
Yeah, I could see that. Or wasn't it Bray that did that with Roman in some weird way?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a guy that could go to SmackDown right now. He's doing nothing. Oh yeah, so is Luke Harper. Jesus Christ, there's a lot of talent not being used. I just got sad again. I've been wondering if they're going to do the stupid thing where Lana and Aiden have been working together all along. Make Rusev not only the super athlete, but the super sympathetic athlete.
Possibly.
I liked Aiden's shirt. Really liked his shirt.
Yeah, that was nice.
Actually, this is the best story happening.
It's the most intriguing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens next with it.
And Aiden was right, though. I still think that Aiden was right in what he was saying on stage. I know he's the heel. I know he's supposed to be hated. But that's what makes heels at their best, when they're saying something that they're right about. Prior to him, Rusev had lost all steam. Like, he was going nowhere. He was a member of the League of Nations that was there simply to put over Roman Reigns. Like, that happened. He was a nobody.
Yep.
I think it was him, Sheamus, Barrett, and Alberto. And that was a horrible stable full of really talented guys. I'm super intrigued. I want to touch on one other thing. It was actually something that I read on our blog. Harper brought up the fact that she feels that Becky could use new attire and or new entrance music. With the new persona, sort of, the new state of Becky, is it time for a change? Like, you know, Harper mentioned, like, Triple H evolved once he got the Motorhead, you know, song. Austin was finally complete when the glass broke. And that's been true for a lot of wrestlers, actually. Like, they finally kind of came into their own once they finally got that final image, that final song going. Is it time for Becky to evolve? Is it needed? Or does she not need it?
I think so. I mean, the music she has now, kind of too happy and not badass enough for her. Also, her ring attire, that needs to change as well, because she's not that person anymore. She's a stone cold badass.
I think I'd like to see her in, like black pants and a tank top or something, and she already had the vest. I don't know if you saw that on Tuesday. She wore a vest.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, she's running with this. She's getting there. And yeah, her music's a little too happy. It worked. It worked for a long time for her. Now is the time to get it. And I really hope that they do this, because I think Harper's right on that. I think that if WWE plays their cards just right, this Becky is the woman that can actually be better than Ronda, more popular than Ronda. Which I didn't know if anybody was going to be more popular than Ronda this year. Becky could be that if WWE follows through on what they've done. Because Ronda's kind of been stagnant, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, she's just being her angry face, going in there, beating people up. I mean, it's predictable.
Not only that, she's appears to be destined to have some awful feud with Nikki. Like, that's not going to do her any favors, obviously. And we don't even dislike Nikki, but it's not going to do her any favors. Like, that's not a hot feud under no circumstances. So Ronda's kind of just stuck. She's been booked too good. She's in Goldberg era. Except with Goldberg, he had like 10 legitimate guys to help put him over throughout that whole streak that were made it worthwhile. Like, Ronda doesn't have that, so they should have really adjusted that push just a little bit, so she wasn't, she still should have won the matches, just not as dominant, because now who can stand up to her? That's the problem when you do these undefeated streaks. You make it difficult for the transition, in my opinion.
Exactly, and then we have an Asuka situation where the only person who can break said undefeated streak is Charlotte Flair.
And another part of my soul died. But, hey, Walking Dead season, well, Fear the Walking Dead series season finale is this Sunday. And we had a death this past Sunday. Jim the Brewmaster. He died, and that was something. And come to find out, AMC has apparently locked down a deal where they're not letting go of the Walking Dead franchise for the next decade plus. There's deals in the work for more spinoffs, possibly TV movies, or just theater movies, just different everything. Like, they're not letting go. This is their page. That dead horse named Walking Dead is going to be such a... It's not even going to be dust by the end of it. It's not. So, yeah. Good for Charlotte.
Yeah. All right. So, what are you not finished with yet? What are you looking forward to next week?
Okay, I obviously we're both looking forward to finding out about Milwaukee. That goes without saying. If I had to pick anything else, I'm kind of curious if we get another Truth TV. I'd be fine with that.
I'm good with that, and I'm going to say Becky. My answer for the time being is going to be Becky. How much more is she going to evolve?
Becky is probably the most must-see thing happening on wrestling right now, in my book. Once again, I have a limited spectrum of basically WWE and Impact. But of those options, this is by far the most must-see thing, because it's finally seeing somebody that we've watched for years work their ass off and finally get that one push that makes all the sense in the world. And you get those every maybe twice a decade at most. Like, yeah. You know, they just don't, you know, Punk, for instance, like when he finally had, you know, it's just so rare. So when it happens, it's actually something really, I don't even know fans really appreciate how big this could be. So hopefully. I agree. Becky is must see.
All right, listeners, it's that time. It's time to play Guess the Wrestler. Rules of Guess the Wrestler, very, very simple. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler. This week, it's Kent's turn to pick. And it's up to, well, me to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. As always, each week, there are 2 gimme answers that Kent will give me right now.
Okay. From what I can gather, I don't want to say it's a he. I don't want to say that he's retired, but he is. Does not appear that he's been active in a. He was active earlier in the year, and there's been no announcement that he's retired. But as I said, he hasn't been active in a while, so not the most helpful thing. He was active in 2018. Early in 2018. But he hasn't, as far as I know, hasn't since, per Wikipedia.
Where was he active?
Most recently?
Yes.
He was most recently active in the world of wrestling on Impact. But I do want to rest assured that this is somebody that you do know.
What other promotions has he been in?
He has been definitely WWE and WWE and WWE. So, WWE and Impact. So, that's why I knew you would know who this particular gentleman was.
Is this his only stint with Impact?
So he was with Impact for a few years, and then from what I can gather, keep in mind I wasn't watching Impact at the time of this quote-unquote return, it looked like he just came back for like a one set of tapings, so I don't know for Impact if that's like 4 or 8 episodes. So he came back for a set of tapings, and then that was it. So he was last truly active, I would say, in 2017, but because he had that quick stint in early 2018. That's why it's weird.
What would he be most known for in WWE? Tag team? Singles?
I would say He did most of his work as a singles, but probably his peak run may have been as a member of a tag team. It's almost like a 50-50 split, to be perfectly honest, but if you put a gun to my head and said one or the other, I'd say tag team. But the vast majority was spent singles.
Hair color.
I'm pretty sure it's black. It's either really dark brown, but I think it's black. Most positive. It appears to be.
When was he in WWE?
Are we talking about just WWE, or are we talking about like train, like all the developmental shit too?
All of the above.
Apparently he'd been with WWE all the way since 2006, which I didn't know.
Wow, I am struggling to figure out who this is.
I will also say this, I did not pull my cliche, I did not mention him this podcast this week. I think I did last week. For something. I'm pretty sure I did. But it was such an irrelevant thing that I would have just briefly glossed over.
Okay. You said he did a couple stints with Impact. When was the first one?
So, when I say a couple, it says 2014 through 2017. Then there's a comma, then 2018. So I'm guessing, from what I'm gathering, he did... It looks like he... he left Impact in, summer of 2017 and then came back for that one set of tapings. Basically, he did it to do an angle to help another person leave Impact. Because people leave Impact quite frequently.
This is true. Trying to think who you talked about last week.
I would have talked about him at the very end of the podcast while I was talking about various other things that may not have been wrestling related.
When he was part of a tag team, would he be a part of a tag team that I would know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You not only... Yeah, you'd absolutely positively know who this person is. This person was actually quite popular for a little bit. But, you know, it was kind of like a... Zack Ryder popularity, were popular amongst the fans, but never could get the right push. I was just about ready to say something. I'm like, well, if you want to know that, you'd ask me that.
Is his tag team partner still with WWE?
Yes. I'll give you a freebie just because it's funny to me. He's a former Slammy Award winner. So, I mean, at least, you know, brought the Slammys up twice this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I would say... And this may confuse you more than it helps you. He, not only was he known for tag team and or singles, but he also had a different kind of role at various points in his career. I can't, without saying like one particular word that would give everything away, he also had served another role. Not like he wasn't a GM, but if you thought like how some wrestlers, you know, have done a GM role or have done other things, probably won't help you, but it might. And we'll say that he wasn't a very talented in-ring performer.
Has he ever been an announcer?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, it's not that person. Josh Matthews.
Oh, no. I think Josh has been with Impact for longer, but maybe not.
I think so.
The only other thing I could think of that would possibly help you is to know that maybe he's done stuff outside of the world of professional wrestling. Stuff that you know about. and stuff that I'm just learning about.
I am drawing a complete blank as to who this is. And I'm probably, as soon as I figure, like, we figure it out, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm such a moron, but...
I'll tell you that he was mostly... At his peak, I would say he was mostly a face. Kid-friendly face.
I still don't know who this is.
I would tell you that two people that he worked with are, at least two people, are still affiliated with WWE. Other ones have gone on to other organizations. I think one, at the very least, went on to Impact. So he's had associates in the past.
I have no idea. Man.
What if I told you that... Alright, this will be the last big clue I can give you. What was something that was very funny and memorable that happened on Truth TV? It's kind of out of the ordinary, very random, but...
Oh my gosh, I was too busy laughing at everything.
What was Carmella responsible for?
The dance parties.
Okay. Go with that.
Brodus Clay?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because Naomi's still active. Albert still does training. Alberto went to Impact. He was just on The Purge last night, which is when I mentioned him last week, because I saw him in the preview for The Purge. And come to find out, he does a lot of Fox News appearances, which...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He was also in, I think,
Glow. Yeah, that's why I said that you knew him from something else. So And the reason I said he did stuff other than singles as tag teams, because he was like Alberto's bodyguard. He was technically Snoop Dogg's former bodyguard. Like, before right. Got into wrestling. That's how he got into wrestling, because Snoop was good with WWE. And Snoop's real name is Brodus.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Or is his first name? His first name's Calvin. Maybe it's his last name's Brodus. Either way, that's how Brodus got his name, is from Snoop.
Cool. Awesome. Well, before we close things out, any announcements for our listeners, Kent?
By the time they hear this, the podcast 129 should be out. Hereditary blog should be out. The horror top 5 blog should be out. I'm really hoping Wentworth blog should be out. By this time next week. This is actually really a busy week, because it's by next week, as stupid as I have been today, I'll be even more sleep deprived next week, because we'll be right in the beginning of October, and that's when I'll be doing not only all these stupid TV show blogs, wrestling blogs, horror blogs. I'll also be doing 100 horror film blogs, and fuck my life. So, that and a brand new redesigned 9deuce.com will be on our doorsteps very, very soon. We are probably 2 to 3 days away from it if all goes well. We hit a snafu in that I forgot that we needed one other logo to make something else work. So we're having another logo being made, then our final set of logos, and then the redesign. A lot of work And there's what? Only. When the hell does October start? Is it Sunday?
Monday.
Oh, fuck, man. All right, so that's all exciting and terrifying for me, but exciting for other people. So keep on the lookout for that.
Yes, listeners, check all of that out. The blogs, the redesign, everything, all of Kent's hard work on 9deuce.com. If you like what you hear on our podcast, hit the subscribe button on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. And with that, I think it's time to say goodnight. So for Kent and myself, we say goodnight and we'll talk to you all next week.
Apparently there was a match of Brodus Clay, Tensai, and the Funkadactyls versus Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bella Twins on March 27th of 2013. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hell no. Ah, good night, everybody.